today on Family Talk.
Well, welcome everyone to Family Talk, which I hope you know is a radio ministry of James Dobson Family Institute. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and we're at a pivotal time in our history because less than 3 weeks from today, on September 4th, the Senate Judiciary Committee will begin its confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy, who, of course, has resigned from the U.S. Supreme Court. Several weeks ago, we convened a panel of legal experts, and we asked them to tell us what they believe we are as a nation and to share some good news about what is happening in the judicial branch of government. Word got out about that meeting, and we had more than 40 people, some of them flying from 1,000 miles or more, to be here for that discussion. Now, again, our focus was on the importance of the court system and how everyday Americans can play a part in the judicial appointment process and the confirmation that's about to take place, we hope. Joining me in this recording were three godly and patriotic men who are very knowledgeable about what we consider to be the best news that is occurring in Washington, D.C., or has occurred in a long time. The discussion was not about a political agenda as such. It's about preserving and protecting the institution of the family and the U.S. Constitution. First on that panel was Dr. Tim Clinton, my brother here and my colleague. He's the executive director of our new Dobson Family Institute, which has an education and public policy component to it. Dr. Clinton also serves on the White House Faith Advisory Board. He is really in a position to know what's going on in Washington. Sitting next to Dr. Clinton on the panel was Kelly Shackelford. He's president and CEO of the First Liberty Institute. His organization is firmly dedicated to fighting for those who have been persecuted for their beliefs, usually religious beliefs, but also for organizations that the government has interfered with, as they did for a number of years here at Family Talk. And you know that story, I hope. The third person taking part in this discussion was Family Talk's legal counsel, Martin Nussbaum. He is a highly gifted attorney with the law firm of Lewis, Rocha, Rothgerber, and Christie. Martin is also co-founder of the firm's Religious Institutions Group, which successfully defends many religious organizations and persecuted individuals around the country. Now, this was a very important session, and the audience really seemed to enjoy it. In fact, we recorded what we had to say on that day, and you can hear them applauding and responding occasionally. What I also hope you'll hear is our passion for the process of the people's participation in government. And frankly, I hope that's you and me. Now, I've been in this fight for traditional family values and the preservation of religious liberty for over 40 years. There have been occasions during that time that I felt like we were losing everything that really mattered. And I have despaired on occasion. Now, my goodness, going back to Roe v. Wade and many of the decisions that were handed down. But some exciting things are happening now with the appointment and confirmation of more than 40 conservative judges, and of course, with the appointment and confirmation of Justice Neil Gorsuch. Every Christian ought to celebrate that development. And as I hope you know, Judge Brett Kavanaugh may soon be confirmed as the next justice to the Supreme Court. And we'll talk about that in these two programs today and tomorrow. With that said, let's get to part one of this engaging and highly informative discussion that took place here at Family Talk several weeks ago. I opened the session by asking Dr. Clinton if he was hopeful about the future of this country. This is what he said.
We stand firm on the issue of family, of faith, and our culture. And what is happening right now is stunning. Something is really stirring among the people. The president, I was in a private meeting with him in Trump Tower in New York City after he was elected. And we had talked about, how do you think this all happened? And I said, I really think it had something to do with the forgotten man and the forgotten woman who finally have gotten a voice again. Because I think in large parts, the church was silenced. There was the silencing of the lambs, this beatdown of people of faith. But God did something. God, it was like somebody poked the bear is what my kids would say. Somebody poked the bear. And something is stirring right now that is unprecedented. And when you, and we'll talk a little bit about what's happening in the White House and the unprecedented access and influence opportunity that faith leaders are having inside the White House, it's stunning. With that, I want you to remember two things. Unprecedented, that word unprecedented, these are unprecedented times. This is uncharted territory, really, in a good way. And the second thing is that God really is at work. God is stirring the hearts of the people. You know, families tend to reproduce themselves. We know that. And in this country, what takes place with judicial appointments and more has generational or legacy implication. That's what we're praying for right now. That's what we're working for. And God is at work, I tell you.
There have been these moments where I just felt like we had lost everything we had worked for and we're trying to preserve. And all of a sudden, after these years in the desert, I mean, it was like 40 years for Moses. All of a sudden, when I'd just about given up, here comes God's answer to that prayer. We haven't won all the battles, and we've still got a lot of big ones yet to come. And this could go away with one single election, and we could still lose our rights if we don't pay attention, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So let me introduce Kelly Shackelford. I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite co-workers in this struggle to defend what we believe in regard to Scripture and the culture. Kelly, I'm so delighted to have you here.
It's a privilege to be here. It's really an encouraging time, you know, kind of following on the theme. First Liberty Institute, all we do is religious freedom cases all across the country. And so we had all these cases, whether it's Coach Kennedy, who's been fired for going to a knee after the football game, tearing down veterans' memorials because of their crosses, all this. And then we were preparing for a Hillary Clinton presidency and how we could advance religious freedom under a Hillary Clinton presidency. And
were you ever discouraged yourself at a time?
Well, you know, yes and no. I'm the hopeful optimist. I always think God's bigger than whatever we're facing. For instance, I think a lot of people know we win more of our cases than any group in the country. We've had a 90% win rate now for over 17 years in a row. That includes every year Obama was president. So we were still winning our cases. It didn't matter who was president. But we knew there would be difficulty, and we were worried about the Supreme Court, and we were shocked by the election and had to reevaluate everything. And we said, okay, now under this president, what opportunities do we have to advance religious freedom? And we immediately came up with 200 different opportunities, and I went to my board and I said, there are 120 judicial seats right now open waiting for him to fill. These are lifetime appointments. These are people that will be there 30 years from now. And I said, here's my problem. I've got the same staff I did before this guy won. I only know for sure we have 2 years because the Senate could change and they are the ones who confirm judges. But, and the board looked at me and they said, how much money do we need to hire the new staff? Anyway, they got us started where we didn't have to wait. We could immediately start hiring and vetting. And what's happened since then has just been the most encouraging thing I've ever seen in my arena. And now we've got Kavanaugh and then all the lower court I know we're going to talk about this, but I'm telling you.
That's almost as important, isn't it?
It's more important. I don't know what the number of cases. Martin might know this. A half million cases filed a year, maybe. I don't know. Guess how many cases make it to the Supreme Court? 75. So the vast percentage of cases never get to the Supreme Court. So these district court and court of appeals judges, federal court of appeals judges, are where all these things are decided. The way the courts work are there are district courts, federal district courts, then federal court of appeals, then United States Supreme Court. Those are the three. So you can go to the district court, then you appeal to the court of appeals, and then you can try to get the Supreme Court to take your case. The judges on these courts are lifetime appointments. Okay, when they're on there until they die or until they're caught in a bribery. So, I mean, that's basically what you have to do to impeach them. Impeachment of a judge almost never happens. And so these are lifetime appointments. And so I just want you to see the type of people. For instance, let me give you one example. There's a guy who graduated top of his class from law school. He then went to work for the Justice Department, and his job was really to put away terrorists. And he convicted a lot of terrorists, and he got an award for his work. And then Eric Holder came in as the new Attorney General. And he pulled him off his terrorist case and said, I want you to work on LGBT, this, that, and the other. And he said, I'm out of here. And he left. Within the last year, President Trump appointed him at 39 years old to be a federal judge on the court for life. Now, I want you to think about this Bible-believing, brilliant, experienced attorney who will be there 30 years from now, 40 years from now maybe, when my grandkids come into court, that's their judge. That's a legacy, okay? And that is happening all across the country. You just don't know these people. But I'm telling you, we are putting people in. You would be so thrilled if you could see the quality of these people we're putting on the courts. Right now, we have 81 judges waiting for their vote. There's a slowdown and all kinds of things going
on. These are people nominated.
These are people nominated. They've even had their hearing. They've been through Judiciary Committee, a number of them. And all they need is a vote. And when they get voted on, they will pass. But there's this delay tactic of this 30-hour debate rule that the Democrats are using to clog everything up. But the good news I will tell you is, I don't know if you saw this, but Leader McConnell said, I'm getting all of those 80 through this year. Okay, now people are like, well, how can that be? You've only gotten 43 through in the last year and a half. So I'm just telling you, keep your eyes open. I think next month something is about to happen. They canceled the August recess, and most of the people that are up for their Senate elections are Democrats. They have to be out campaigning. They're going to be forced to stay in D.C., or they're going to have to make a deal, or they're going to leave, and they're going to start pushing all these judges through. But McConnell does not say things like, I will get every one of them through. He knows what he's saying when he says things. So pray about this, but keep your eyes open, because I think we're going to start to see a flood of these people going onto the court. And we've already, in the first year and a half, President Trump replaced 1/8 of the Federal Court of Appeals. That's the highest level. That's right underneath the Supreme Court. These are lifetime appointments. In 18 months, he replaced 1/8 of the entire Court of Appeals structure. So he's setting records in a number of ways. If we can just get these lower court judges through. But I just want you to be encouraged about some of the things you're not seeing. My hope is that at the end of this election, the Senate will not be lost, and I'll have to go raise money for 2 more years of judges on the courts. But that's why this election is so important, because if the Senate changes, all these confirmations stops. So that's why what's going on has been incredible. I've never seen anything like the quality of people going on the court. And I don't know what God has planned, but it might be another 2 years. It might be another 4 years. It might be another 6 years. But it's thrilling to watch really strong believers in Christ who are bright, who are young, great people who are going to be there way past, you know, when we're in the grave.
Kelly, just very quickly, set your ego aside and be honest with these folks about the role you're playing in the selection of those judges.
I do set my ego aside, because I'm like, I don't have any business doing any of this stuff. It's just whatever God allows us to do. And, I mean, the idea that when they came up with the first Supreme Court seat, that, you know, there were 10,000 opinions by the 21 judges on Trump's list. And all we did is we said, you know what? We feel God is calling us to do our job. And so we read all 10,000 opinions. And so God gives us opportunities. And I didn't know what he was having us do. And Gorsuch had written more opinions on religious freedom than any judge I'd ever seen being considered for the Supreme Court. And they were always right. And so it was awesome to see. And now, and we'll get into this later, I guess, but we got Brett Kavanaugh. To watch what God is doing is incredible.
After numerous listening sessions, the light popped on for me. I'm a little bit slow to the trigger every now and then. But, Kelly, can you make sure everyone understands something here? Most people voted for the president on the Supreme Court nomination and selection. But we have learned the lower court appointments are really significant. Some say as significant than the Supreme Court, because this is where our everyday life is lived out. So the cases on religious liberty and more are heard and settled at that level there. That's why when he's talking about these appointments, and we've heard these listening sessions, they take it very serious. It affects our everyday life, our communities, where we live. And so maybe you can embellish that a little bit.
Yeah, it's. I can give you another example. We had to fight really hard for a guy that we were able to win when it was all over, who's now in the Federal Court of Appeals. His name is Jim Ho. He is 44 years old. He clerked for Justice Thomas on the Supreme Court. He is probably one of the brightest legal minds in the country. But what's happened in the 4 months he's been on the court, or 5 months, the liberals are going crazy. Sunday, there's an opinion on religious freedom. And it's about what happened is the Catholic Church had been involved in trying to influence legislation in Texas on fetal burial when there's abortion. And the pro-choice group sued the government and then in the process demanded all the internal communications of the church on this. And the lower court judge thought, okay, yeah, hand everything over. And it goes up to the Federal Court of Appeals, and Judge Jones and Judge Ho issued the greatest smackdown decision you probably read in the last few years, saying, excuse me? We have a First Amendment in this country. And they just write an incredible opinion. And then Ho, as if it wasn't enough what they already wrote, writes another concurring opinion of his own for a page saying, how can this be happening in our country? And it's an unbelievable opinion. Slate.com has already written an article saying, this guy's out of control. Yeah, he's defending the Constitution, you know. That's one judge.
That's exciting.
Okay, so that's one judge, and he's on there for life. He's only been on the bench for 4 or 5 months. So just think about this multiplied many times over, and the 81 who are waiting for a vote, and there's currently 184 seats waiting to be filled.
I better give Martin an opportunity to weigh in here. Martin Nussbaum is our general counsel. But he's far more than that. He's been in this battle a long time. He is deeply committed to life, and especially defending a lot of cases that involve the Catholic Church. He's become a wonderful friend to me. He is senior partner at Lewis, Rocha, Roth, Garber, and Christit. Martin went to Notre Dame, and during football season, we don't talk to each other about that much. But then he went to the University of Texas, right?
Yes.
For his doctorate in law, and he is very distinguished in this country. He has played a tremendous role for us. I don't know if you all remember, but Barack Obama and his Secretary of Health and Human Services tried to force this organization, along with Little Sisters of the Poor and others, to give contraceptives to their employees who asked for them, that had the potential of creating abortions because it prevented the embryo from attaching to the uterine wall. That may not be accurate, but that's my understanding. And they were going to force us to do this, and in fact did. And I wrote a letter to the president along with others, and I said, Mr. President, we consider this decision to be immoral. It's contradictory to everything we believe, and we will not comply with it. Come get us if you must. Well, he did, and we wound up in a federal court We won the first round at district level. Then it was appealed to the 10th Circuit, I believe. You pick it up from there.
It's been about 4 years. And Dr. Dobson, the case was originally called Dobson versus Sebelius. So Dr. Dobson goes on the radio and says, over my dead body, I'm going to comply with this. Then he called his lawyer and he says, I need you to take care of me, given what I've said today.
I said, let me think that over.
But he took a stand. He took a stand, and each of us, what we know about religious freedom and all these precious constitutional rights that we have is we all get to steward them for a while. That's what we get to do. We get to steward these rights for a while, and sometimes you have to take a stand. So we've been privileged in my shop to litigate on behalf of more employers, Catholic and Protestant, evangelical Protestant, than anyone in the country over just in the Catholic cases about over 1,000 employers, about a third of the bishops and dioceses in the United States we've represented in court. And we've won those cases. You know, we could talk about what was the greatest challenge in American religious liberty history, and this would certainly be on the short list, the contraceptive mandate litigation. More people of faith, more institutions of faith filed more lawsuits to vindicate their freedom and took a risk of billions and billions of dollars of fines to say we're not going to participate with what we believe to be an evil act mandated by our government.
What would the fine have been for not complying?
Against Family Talk would be $100 per employee per day for 4 years. I think that's about $600,000 that you wagered on this case. In our Catholic Benefits Association case, we calculate the fine somewhere between $7 and $20 billion of fines that we've now gotten court orders eviscerating those fines. I mean, it would destroy hundreds and hundreds of ministries around the country. Let me tell you two other things about that litigation I think you'll find interesting, and it goes right into the importance of our courts. If Hillary Clinton had been elected President of the United States, no matter how smart Kelly is, and no matter how smart I and the guys in my shop are, we would have lost that litigation because it ends up at the United States Supreme Court. And those cases have gone to the Supreme Court 6 times. And the last time they went there, the Solicitor General of Barack Obama admitted that his attorneys were lying in all the circuit courts in the United States, and 8 out of 9 of those circuit courts believed the lie. They took it because it took them to the result they wanted to, which was defined against religious freedom and in favor of another new sexual right. And at the United States Supreme Court, Solicitor Verrilli admitted that they had misled all of those courts, and the United States Supreme Court had that admission. And it would be easy to rule Justice Scalia had died, and they blinked. They simply vacated the cases and sent them back down below. When you have an admission like that, why didn't they rule? Why didn't they rule? It was political pressure that they didn't rule at that moment, and that's why we need people like Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and others, Alito, our friends Thomas, on that court to do that. The second thing I'll tell you about these cases, 105 district courts, 9 circuit courts of appeal. Some circuit courts had more than one case, like the Seventh Circuit did. Not one Democrat appointee in any one of those cases ever ruled on the merits in favor of religious freedom. Not one. That's why we need judges, not that are on our side, but judges who believe in the rule of law. Judges that believe in the rule of law.
You were joined in that effort by the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yes, sir.
They paid a lot of the bills for some of the litigation.
They've been terrific.
Between the two of you, it was remarkable to watch what you did. Well, our time for today has come to a close. This is James Dobson again, and I hope you're enjoying this discussion as much as I am listening to it again. Listen, folks, the Supreme Court and the appellate courts have ignored the Constitution of the United States for many, many years, and they've forced their will on the American people. And the result has been 60 million unborn babies killed. and the redefinition of marriage, and religious liberty has been made a shambles of. And the Constitution protects religious liberty, and yet it's been ignored. It's time for a change. And that's why I say to those of you who've been listening today, please recognize that your voice is critical. Let it be heard in the U.S. Senate. And certainly, I ask you to get to the polls and vote. I don't care if you vote for Republicans or Democrats. That's not what matters. What matters is what the people believe that you're voting for. And we're going to talk about that more in tomorrow's program. Don't you dare miss it, because there's good stuff coming.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.